Okay, so what we're going to do then, is I have not done this in full since 3 years ago, is an introduction to Agatata. Basically, the plan for the year, usually what I do is a few weeks of introduction of what is Agatata to begin with. And then I pick Agadot in the Gemaras that we're learning, which switching off between morning Seder and afternoon Seder, which means this year almost all afternoon Seder. There are some Agadot in Yerushalmi Shviat, and we will cover them. But there aren't many. The ones that there are relatively famous. The Yerushalmi's version of Shem Bayachai in the cave is in Yerushalmi Shviat, so we will take that up. But most of them will be from Brachot this year, because, you know, Brachot is enough Agadot for take us for many, many, many years of Shir. Okay. But what I want to do today is focus on the question of balancing legal and Agadot text. So what is Agadot, right? It's hard to define, but as far as you know, what is Agadot? Yeah. Okay, is it only stories? Stories is definitely a subcategory. Is it only stories?
Usually something which is not.
Wait, one second. Is it only stories?
I can't think of any that
are. Go ahead. Okay, so stories is a big part. Non-halachic stories, let's say, right? There are obviously stories in halacha which are halachic. So, from what I gather, all of you at least did the first mission on Bracha today. Right? So that's a story, but it's a halachic story, right? I wouldn't really call that Agadata, right? Rishim ben Gamliel's sons, right? Rabbi Gamliel's sons went out to party, right? And they came back late. Their father said, right? That's not exactly, you know, I wouldn't call that Agadata. The story is definitely a big part of it. What else is it, though? It's very hard to define. Right, so Agadata is hard to define. Probably the most common definition, because it's so hard to define, is the, remind me your name again, Ezra, right, is the definition by negation, which is, it's not halacha, right, negative. It ain't halacha. What it is, I don't know, it's everything that's not halacha, right? Okay, but that's not really, I mean, that's not a full definition. It includes stories, right? Ellie, what else? You had your hand up. What else does it include? Okay, so what's in that, right? So that's similar to Ezra's. Ah, good, right? So there are plenty of Agadot that are not stories. They are either theological... Right, so this is the problem with defining it, right? Is Agadot, when people talk about Agadot, right, they sometimes mean the stories. They sometimes mean anything which isn't halachic. Therefore, that can include the theological ruminations. It can include... the first parak of Megillah, where it just goes through Megillat Esther and just has drasha out of Megillat Esther, right? It can just be drasha on the stories. It can be ethical lessons. Some people would include the medical advice in the Gemara as Agadata. Again, this is hard to define. It's not like the Gemara ever says, this is halacha, this is Agadata, this is halacha. That's exactly the point, right? We're going to talk about it a little bit today. So when we mean Agadata, it's broad, right? Some people take it in a very limited sense. Some take it in a more expansive sense. For our purposes, we will take something like Ezra's definition, which is basically anything which isn't pure halacha. We will entertain the possibility that it is Agadata for our purposes. Now, there are things which are on the border between halacha and Agadata, right? Halacha and Agada, and that really makes things complicated, right? There are things which are both. Right, exactly. Things like that, right? There's going to be plenty of cases in Brachot where you're going to look at it and say, is that halacha? Is it Agadata? Right? I don't know, right? Like, yeah, sure. Don't go into Chorvo because, right? Don't go into Shreyad because you'll be attacked by whatever, or because you might run into a prostitute or people will think you're running into a prostitute, right? So it's a mix of halacha and ethics and, right, general advice and who knows whatever, right? So it's very hard to define. Okay, but let's try to, you know, we'll try... down the line. Again, how much of the introduction we do, we'll see, right? You know, we can do introduction for many weeks. We can do it for short and jump into Agadata. We can go back and forth. We can decide. The person who really wrote the most systematic treatment of all the different types of Agadata is Rav Avraham ben Arambam, who has a long ma'amar on Agadah, where he basically says, look, here's all the different types of Agadata, right? But there's been a lot of modern, over the summer, I took the chance to read a bunch of books. I hadn't read it on Agadata, which was fun. Very productive reading, by the way. It was good. I think I read 70 books over the summer. It was good. Good times. Good times. Fun times. But yeah, I like reading. But I read it. What? What's reading? So I read a bunch on Agatata. I read Victor Shannon's book on Agatata. I read one of Yona Frankel's books on Agatata. I read Max on Agatata, one volume of Yaffa Zilcha's book on Agatata in the Yerushalmi. It was fun. It was great. Really. It was fun. I love Agatata. What? It was good times. Most of what I read was not that. I read a lot of psychology and philosophy over the summer also. So I want to talk a little bit the balance of legal and Agatic texts. Okay? If you go through the Gemara, you will discover that some of the meta Agada, right, Agadot, like the Agadot about Agada, right, have different perspectives on, what is the role of Agadata. So let me take one example. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Samach, and since you don't have it in front of you, I'll sort of paraphrase, translate, okay? Yativ Ravami and Ravasi kamei de Rav Yitzchok Nafka. So the scene is like this. Ravami and Ravasi are before Rav Yitzchok Nafka. Mar Amarle Lemamar Shmaitza Mar Amarle Lemamar Agarata. One said, can you teach me some halacha? And the other said, no, teach them Agarata. Patach Lememar Agarata. So he started teaching Agarata. Velo Shavik Mar. And the one who wanted halacha wouldn't let him talk. Right? Okay. Patach Lememar Shmaitza Velo Shavik Mar. So he tried halacha. And the same thing happened. It didn't go very well. Amar Lahem. So now he gave them a mashal about the mashal. Let me tell you something. What is this like? It's like a person who has two wives. One is young and one is old. The young one wants him to look young, so she pulls out all his white hairs. And the older woman wants him to look her age, so she pulls out all his black hair. Very good. Which leaves him bald. Right? That's my mashal for what's going on. Amar Lahan, he said, but now I have a solution. Let me tell you something that is good for both of you. Great. Kitetze eshu matzah kotzim, the pasuk in Shmot, in Mishpatim, says that a fire goes out and finds thorns, me'atzma, shalem yishalem ha'mavira be'era. So then, the person who the fire came from has to pay. Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu, alai lishleim et habeira shivarti. So God says, I have to pay for the fire in the Beit HaMikdash. Because ani hitziti eish b'tzion. Because I set the fire in Zion. Shene amar. Vayetzit eish b'tzion. Vatocho iso dutav. Ani etid lebenotav v'eish. And therefore, to make up for it, I will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Shene amar v'ani ehye lechomat eish saviv ulechot eya b'tocha. Okay. This meta agarata about agarata. What does it teach us about the relationship between halacha and agada? Yes.
Well, it teaches us that halacha and agada are distinct.
So at least the beginning of the story, they are distinct, right? The only thing we know in the story is that halacha and agada are distinct. They are warring wives trying to tear apart these poor Talmud Chacham. Okay, that is the only thing we know. Good. They're distinct. Good. Is one better than the other? No, in this story.
If one was strictly better than the other, the Talmud would probably just teach that one.
Correct, right? In this story, they're not, right? Both from the Mashal and from the Nimshal, right? Right, meaning, okay, so you could say he started the Agadah, they went to Halacha, but the point is he was open to both, right? Right? They didn't let him, but he's open to both. He doesn't seem to preference one, except maybe the fact that he had to start with one, but he had to start with one, right? But also, they're presented in the Mashal as, right, two wives, right? Two warring wives. What? Oh, okay. So far we get that they are equal and opposing, but they are different, right? Right? You also get the notion that they are different. Agada is identified with the young woman, so the vigor of youth, as Dr. Moshe Shoshan very nicely puts in this story, right? While halacha is linked with the sagacity of old age. So it assumes that it's parallel here, right? So since he started with Agadata, so the young woman is pulling out the air first, right? So it sounds like Agada is the vigor of youth and halacha is the sagacity of old age, okay?
Well, because Agadata is like stories.
Okay. Good. Right, and maybe this is because Agadah is creative or daring. Halacha is rigorous and conservative. And each of them are vying for the student's attention. Okay? And if the conflict remains unresolved, the lesson of the story is he's just paralyzed and will never get anything done. Okay. That's the Hava Mina first stage of the Gemara. However, what does the end of the story teach you? Exactly, right, exactly. There's a way to synthesize it, right? It's as if the Hava Mina, right? It's the funny, right? The funny thing about the story is that what is he doing? He's telling them that Halacha and Agada are distinct, but he's modeling how they're actually not, right? So this Agadata, this meta-Agadata about Agadata, on the one hand, it's telling you they're distinct, and they're different. On the other hand, it's telling you they're not. There is a way to synthesize them. So that's one Agadata about Agadata. Okay, good. Here's the second one. This is Gemara in Sota Daf Mem. Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Iklulu Atra. Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Chia Bar Abba happened to come to a certain place, and in that time, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Darish Bishmata. So Rabbi Chia Bar Abba taught halacha. Shavkuhu Kule Alma Le Rabbi Chia. Sorry, I skipped the line. Rabbi Avo Darish Agarata. Rabbi Avo was teaching an Agarata shir. And what happened? Shavkuhu Kule Alma Le Rabbi Chia Bar Abba V'Azel Legabed Rabbi Avo. Everybody left the halacha shir and went to learn Agarata. Okay? Chalash Daite. So, Rav Chia, who was teaching halacha, was upset. He was offended. So now, to make him feel better, the Agadis gives him an Agadata about what they're doing. Right? Oh, you're upset that everyone likes Agadata? Let me solve the problem by teaching you Agadata. So here's the mashal. And he said, L'shnei b'nei adam, echad mocher avanim tavot, echad mocher minei sidkit. One person is selling jewels, and one person is selling whatever, small items, you know, things, right? Little, whatever. It's the dollar store, right? Yeah, tchotchkes, yeah, great. Almi kotzin, who has more buyers? Yeah, exactly. Zeshem means it's the kid, the one who has, right, sells garbage because it's easy. So he says, now this didn't quite. Okay, good. So in this Agadata, again, halacha and Agadata are very, very much in opposition. Like, people leave one share. So clearly in this story, halacha and Agada, at war. People, right, they're halachists and they're agadists. But, okay, here's the problem. Simple pshat of this story, which is more valuable?
Seems like halacha.
What's the problem? It's hard to figure out whether he's serious. Right? Meaning, right? Right, no, not even having fun of him. He's trying to make him feel better, right? And besides, he's using Agadata to make him feel better, right? Meaning, the whole scene, right? So on the one hand, the words he says imply that halacha is more important. On the other hand, the entire story is encased in an Agadata, and it's not clear that he's serious, right? Good. And he could also be talking about the particular shir he's giving, right? Who knows about all Agadata? The Agadata he was teaching, I don't know what he was teaching. Right? Okay, fine. Good. How about this one, though? This is a sifre. What's the sifre?
It's like sayings of the Tanaim.
Very good. It's the halachic midrash from the Tanaim on Bamidbar and Farim. Very good. Well, second. Is it also Rav Chia and Rav Hoshea? No, it's Sifrei. Is it Rav Chia? Have to look. So it's contemporaneous with the Mishnah. And this is what it says. Dorshei Rishumot Omrim. The people who learn metaphor say, Ritzoncha shetakir misha amar v'haya olam. You want to know God? Limod Hagada. Learn Agadata. Mitoch kach atamatkir et hakadosh baruch hu medavek b'drachav. That's how you get to know God and cling to his ways. V'masita mashalechem afani ese mashalai. And if you do it, then I'll do my part. Okay, in this story, in this statement, where does halacha rank on the halacha agadata scale? You want to know God. Where's agadata? Right, agadata is here. All right, so on the halacha agadata scale, agadata here. So here we have one Gemara that says they're equal opposite forces. One, which, if he's serious, says that Agadita is like the cheapest thing that everybody likes, but doesn't mean much. Right? And the other one says that Agadita is the way to God. Okay, so you could try to say, oh, Lishma, not Lishma.
The Sifra is saying that explicitly. It quotes Agadita specifically.
That too, it's true. It quotes the Darshei Rishumot. Okay, so let's try to figure it out, right? So there are different possibilities of how to take this sort of contradiction, right? One possibility is to say it's all talking about the same Agadita. And it depends how you learn it, Lishma, not Lishma. Do you understand it or not understand it? Right? Right? How deep do you understand it? Right? That's one possibility. Okay? Another possibility is they're all talking about the same Agadita, but it's a machloket. There's a machloket. Right? There's no mitzvah to say that there's never a machloket in Chazal. There were some who felt that Agadita was the most rarefied of all things. And some felt Agadita. What? Yeah, it's not halacha. I don't care. Right? Now, of course, the Agadist, sometimes you do see this. So, for example, Rabbi Akiva, who everyone agrees is, Gadol Shev Gidolim Bab Halacha, right? Right? He's basically Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I mean, that's how the Gemara takes it, right? Right? The Gemara in Menachot of Chavtet tells the story. Maybe you've heard this Gemara before. What? Yes, exactly, right? Moshe goes to heaven, and he sees God writing. We did this, I got it, 2 years ago, right? When we did Menachot. He sees God putting all the crowns on the letters, and he says, God, right? Mi matriach al-yadecha, right? Who is making you spend all this time, wasting your time writing these little letters? And he said, because l'sof kamadored, in the end of many generations, there'll be this person, Akiva ben Yosef Shmo, right? And he, on every crown, he'll be derech tilim shel halachot, mountains of halachot. So he says, show me. So Moshe goes into a time machine, right? It's a very bizarre little Agadita, right? Moshe, and he's says, okay, here he is. And he gets to the Beit Midrash, and he sits down in the eighth row of the Beit Midrash.
Moshe.
Why in the eighth row of the Beit Midrash?
They were arranged by levels.
Good. And how many rows were there in a standard Beit Midrash in the time of Chazal? Seven. Right? It means Moshe, right? The Mashal here. No, it was that's where he belonged. That Ki'ilu, Moshe doesn't even belong here. And he goes... What?
The high
level is the first. He's in the eighth. Right? The closer you are to the Rebbe, the higher you are. So he's in the back, in the eighth row, which may not exist. Right? So he comes, and Rebbe Kiva is darshaning things, and what does the Gemara say about Moshe?
He doesn't understand
what's going on. He has no idea what's flying. Right? And Chalash Daite, he got depressed. And God said, don't worry. Right? Oh, sorry, God didn't say, don't worry. At that moment, the Talmud asked a question to Rebbe Kiva, and he said, Rebbe minayin lecha. Rebbe, how do you know that that's true? Amar le?
It says, Halacha Moshe
B'Sinai. Right? At which point, Moshe feels better. At end of story. Right? Well, that's not true. That's not the end of the story. The story gets worse. Right? The end of the story is that Moshe says, okay, you showed me his Torah. Now show me how he's going to die. And he shows his skin being scraped off. And he says, really? This guy? Right? And he says, and God's very, very deep theological response is, shut up, right? Shtok, he does. Shtok kach alav b'vashav lefanai, right? Shut up, that's how I want it, right? Very weird, Agadita, right? So Rebbe Akiva is like the superhero of halacha. However, in the Gemara, this appears in a few places, at some point, they're having a discussion in the Beit Midrash about makat svardeya. And Rebbe Akiva... So it's going to the whole drasha. It was really one big frog, right? And then it spit out other frogs because it says Hatzvardeya. And what does I think it's Rabbi Elazar say to him? Maybe it's Rabbi Shmuel. What does he say to him? Yes, he's like, "Ach, Rabbi Kiva, ma, right? What do you have to do with the Agadita? Go back and learn your Torah, right? Go back, right? Go back, learn your Torah. Go back and learn, right? All those. Good luck, right?" So it's clear that it could just be machloket, right? The here's the Rabbi Akiva, the Gadol Shem Gedolim, and not only does he say, listen, this is not your chum, he's like, right, he shuts him down like, right? Go learn your... Or it's two different, right?
Some people were like, God, this is a
correct. So again, you could read that story and say there's two different studies, or you could say that, no, the Agadists really thought they were greater, right? Now, however, there's another possibility. This comes back to what you were sort of aligning, right? Which is, Agadita means a heck of a lot of different things, right? And some Agadita might be on the lowest of the low, and some might be the highest of the high, right? Depends what you define it. So, for example, if I had to choose what Agadita would go in the level of, if you want to know God, right? Assuming Agadita just means what Ezra said, which is anything which is not halacha, which Agadah is going to go in the highest of the high of the high? Yeah, Maisa Merkava, exactly. All the sugya there in the middle of Chagiga, right? Right, exactly. Right, where the Arba Nechnesu L'Pardes, the four people who entered, right, whatever Pardes is and understood the secrets of the universe, right? And all that stuff, right? There are Agadita that talk about metaphysics and, right? And if you understand that Agadita, that's the deepest of the deep. And then there's Agadita, which is Mamish, the lowest of the low, right? So, for example, what's an Agadita that without me getting killed, I can say is the lowest of the low of Agadita? Ellie?
The ones that are actually
the lowest of the low. No, well, there's the lowest of the low, right? I can give you one that's the lowest of the low.
Is that really easy?
So maybe, I'll give you an easy one that's the lowest of the low, right? The Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Kiva was in Shir, and people were falling asleep. So Rabbi Kiva said, why was Esther Zocha to reign over 127 provinces? Because she descended from Sarah, who lived 127 years. Now, why do I say that's the lowest of the Agadita? It makes no sense. The Gemara said, Rabbi Kiva just said it to wake people up. He just said the most ridiculous thing that came into his mind, right? To wake people up, right? That's like... What? Exactly. But also, the Gemara seems to say the simple pshat is that it was just said to wake people up. It's not like it doesn't even mean anything. Right? What?
Yeah.
Yes! Exactly! Right? Pidyuk. Yes. Because you just, you say something wild and stupid, right? And if you have good students, they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, that's the point. Can we move on now? Right? You're all awake. Yalla. Right? You say something radical and you say something provocative. Right? But that's not, right? So it could be that it depends on the Agadita. Okay. So that's the first point that you have to understand about Agadita, right? Is that there's a lot of tension. So just to summarize what we've seen, first point about Agadita is that it's hard to define. And even in the Gemara, you have three different voices. You have the voice that says it's more important than Halacha, the one that says it's garbage compared to Halacha, and the one that says it's equal and opposite, right? Now, either that's a machloket, that some people feel like halacha is more important, some people like God is more important, or it depends on how deeply you understand it, right? If you understand it at a deep level, it's valuable. If you understand it, right, very superficially, not so much. Or, right, depends on the agadita. There's metaphysics, which is very high, and then there's, like, entertainment. There's the insults and the whatever, and sure, the ones that Ellie doesn't like, right? Okay, fine. I mean, I don't know which ones you want, but there's a lot of them that high school guys like because whatever, right? They're the ones that make me very uncomfortable to teach. Okay, fine. Thank God we've never learned the Masechta with the most disturbing of them. Yeah.
The source that says...
What? Well, like, you know, they are very disturbing Agadita. Like, these extensive passages where the Amoraim are there having a long discussion competing about whose reproductive organ is larger. Right? It's a very weird Agadita. I don't know what to do with it. What? I knew what he meant. Right? Of course. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know, right, but I don't know what to do with it either, right? It's not like, I mean, you might have been children, but still, I don't know what to do with it. It's not like, it's not, I mean, maybe it's hidden. In fact, I think if I remember, the art school is like, this is like deep and philosophical. I mean, okay, I have no idea. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I have no clue what it means. Sure. And then there's like, what? We're not going to learn that one. Thank God. I admit to myself the mistakes we learned. But like, yeah, so it could be that, what do you do that I got to tell? I don't know.
That says that God is the lowest of the low is a quote from a goddess himself. It seems kind of contradictory.
Yeah, of course, and that's why it could just mean independent of the Agadita, but he might not be serious, right? It's very hard to tell. Yeah.
We're talking about how God chose to buy a call. So I was learning this Sukhya about drinking on Purim, my sister, like last year. And he talks about how there's a famous line about how like the shear is can't distinguish between Purim.
Yeah, it's very unclear whether that story is halachic or agadic.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Does that? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. That is a big problem. That story, right? Is that Rabbi Ephraim thinks it's halachic, right? So is the Pri Chadash, but in the exact opposite way of Ben Ephraim, of Rabbi Ephraim. Ben Ephraim is not from Rabbi Ephraim. Is quoted in the Balmor. Correct.
Yeah, that's
very good. Good. So let's move to that, which is the problem with all of what we just saw is it assumes a sharp distinction between halacha and agada.
It is very easy to go. A lot of these agadas, right? Even one that's arguing each other, they're arguing, but just done it in a different media. Because I feel like you could just say, oh,
Yeah, 100%. Good, and like, look, there's the problem here, right? But like I said, the problem here is that everything we just read, if you had never read Gemara, right? You would think that halacha and agada were like totally different disciplines. Like they actually were, like it was totally clear what they were. But they're not. And that at 100 levels. Right? First of all, it's hard to define. Right? Like, yeah, is the story of Rava shechting Rabbi Zeir, is that halacha or agada?
Oh, I don't know.
Right? I don't know. Right? It's a good question. It's a good question. Is it meant to be halacha or agada? That's a very important story, but who knows? Right? But even without that, what else might call into question the idea that halacha and agada are fully different disciplines?
It's strange for the Gemara to both halacha and agada.
Oh, very good. Very good. Is that if you've ever gone, there are books which are Sefer Haggada, just collects all the agadas of the Chas. Why is that book necessary?
Yeah,
because it's not how it looks like in Shas, right? Schechter claims, and again, I have no way of knowing whether this is true. Right? I've never done the count. I don't know Shas this well to like do that assessment. I've gone through Shas, but I never noted it. Right? He argues that approximately a seventh of Shas is Agadata. Okay, I don't know if that's true. I don't know how you're defining Agadata, but let's take that as more or less. Okay, a seventh.
And I also wrote a lot of these.
What? Fine, but I don't know if he means in dafim. I don't mean words. Like I never like cheshba. That's what he says. Okay, whatever it is. Where's Masechet Agadata? There's no such thing, right? Meaning it's like it's interwoven. It's everywhere. Not and that. First of all, the first point is that it's interwoven, right? You can't deny, right? There's nothing you can do about that, right? It is interwoven completely, right? That's the first thing that might call into question whether these are different disciplines. The second point is, as several people have said, it's not just that they're interwoven. Yeah, it's not even like clear. Half the time you don't even know whether you're talking halacha or agada. Meaning, it's one thing to say they're interwoven. Okay, fine. It's another thing to say, and it's not ever clear, right? I mean, sometimes it's clear that whether something's halacha and something's agada, but sometimes it's not, right? It's hard to define, and sometimes it's just like, right? So saying that they're different disciplines is very hard, right? That they're totally different disciplines. So at some point when I was in, when I spent time in Toronto, which you guys know, they asked me, the year before they asked your father, they asked me to give the Rabbi Price Memorial Cheer. So Rabbi Price is a very interesting person in Toronto. He was like the gadol in Toronto from like 1930 something until he died in like 1994, something like that. He lived for a very long time. Like I think he was born in like 1900. He lived till he was 94 or something like that. Right? He was so, and he wrote a tremendous number of books. They asked me to give this and. So at the time, I didn't know much about his writing, so I actually happened to have a volume with me, right? Really, one volume of his Agadah.
right, of his direct show, Imre Avraham,
but he also has like three volumes on the Smag and, three volumes on Sefer Hasidim and Chidushim on Shas and all types of interesting things. But in his introduction to Imre Avraham, he has a discussion of what is Agadah and what is a drasha, like what is it? So I'll read you the English, my translation, not his. So he says, listen, homiletics, drashot, have always been an important part of Torah literature and took an important place in the Jewish study hall, for the homiletics established the ethical storage house for the Torah. Halachot and the study of them focus on the commandments in the Torah, for their essence is only to instill morality in people, to improve their beliefs and make their actions better. As Chazal say, what does God care if one slaughters an animal, eats or stabs it and eats it? Does it help him or hurt him? Does he care if he eats kosher or not kosher? If you are wise, it is for you. Right? So Chazal say themselves, listen, halacha, on the end of the day, God doesn't care. I mean, he cares, but he doesn't care. It doesn't change him. Right? God wants you to do it for you. Okay, I mean, maybe. What halacha, what Torah is an interesting question. So he says, right, the mitzvah are given to purify people. But he says, okay, but what's Agadah? Agadah, he says, is ethics itself. It is logical that it should have as much space dedicated in our books, and that all Jewish scholars should be interested in it to make it fruitful, make it flourish, and improve. He says, first of all, right, halacha is like what you do, but Agadah explains what it is, why you do it. Right? That's what it is, right? What exactly is Agadah? It's all those things that provide the background for why we do what we do, right? And that includes metaphysics, right? The nature of God behind it. It includes ethics. It includes religious inspiration. It includes whatever. But then he says, if that's the case, that Agadah provides the background to what halacha is trying to accomplish, it makes sense that they're going to be synthesized. So he says, therefore, it's important to emphasize the Agadah, the ideas and ethics hidden and embedded in halacha. For just as our teachers made their ethics heard in their agadic statements, so too they did this with halacha. For when they heard, so when they made the halacha heard, they stamped it into the Agadah, right? Ethics and common decency, right? There are some laws that are entirely ethics and common decency. So if you go through Shas, it's not just that sometimes it's unclear whether something's halacha Agadah. Chazal go farther than that. They go out of their way to make it that you don't know. So sometimes they'll be talking about good advice, and what will they call it? Halacha. Halacha. Right? Like, the halacha is that if you entrust money to your friend, so if the person throws it behind him or gives it to his young son or daughter or locks the door improperly, he's liable. Right? So that's a halacha. Right? If someone is a shomer, if someone's a guardian, and he doesn't do a good job. And then it says, then Chazal explain, it makes sense, as they didn't guard as they should. Fine. And then Rava says that when the Pasuk says that the money should be wrapped in your hand, what do you learn from this? That a person should always keep his money in his hand. Right? Right? Meaning, we learn from the Hilchot Shomrim that if someone else gave you money, you should hold it in your hand. And therefore, we learn from this that when you're carrying money, carry it in your hand, right? Not behind your back. That's a halacha that we derive from Hilchot Shomrim. But if I want to lose my money, go ahead. No, right? You look at that and you don't even know, right? And there are these... and if you go through it, there are times where The Ritva is very into this. Sometimes the Gemara will say mitzvah and quote a pasuk, and you know what the Ritva will say? Hey, I love dafka, it's good advice, right? And sometimes it'll say something like good advice, and the Rishonim will say, aha, mitzvah d'oraisa. You're like, okay, can you please be careful in your language? The answer is no. Bishita, right? It's a principled statement. They blur the line because, right? See, and this is like the opposite perspective. On the one hand, the first sort of half, we said, halacha and agadah are distinct, which is higher, which is lower, question one. But that's only half the story, because sometimes they're presented as distinct, and sometimes when you look what Chazal actually do, right, and brachot is a good example. We're like, brachot, the halacha goes into Agadah, like, right? Chagiga is also like that. Brachot, Sota was like that, right? Brachot is a lot, Sota is a lot. But literally, right, you have no idea, right? There's times when you have no idea. Is this meant to be halacha, right? Right, to take very simple examples. I mean, I was thinking of talking about this, but we'll do it at some point, right? The tefillah you say when you come into the Beit Midrash, right? It's a huge machloket. Is that a halacha? Or is it just telling you what Rav Nechunim ben Akana did? Right? If it's, right? In which case, not a halacha at all. Right? It's very unclear in that line. Right? It's unclear, right? It's very unclear. Like, it's very unclear. And then if it's just about what he did, so what is it trying to teach you? And this is often the case. So on the one hand, they're distinct disciplines. But on the other hand, they're intricately related. Right? And the way Shas is structured is meant to tell you that. The third point, and this is the last point I'll make for today, is that it's not just that in general, halacha and agadah are integrated. Rav Tzadok HaKohen is really the one who's very into this, but modern writers on agadah have become obsessed with this. Rav Tzadok argues that it's not just that in general, halacha the Gemara integrates halacha and agadah, but in fact, Chazal integrate specific halachot and agadot, and they're meant to teach about each other. So his most famous place where he says this is about the middle dapim in Gittin. Okay, what is the main topic of Masechet Gittin? Divorce, right? Divorce. Now, it's a very weirdly structured Masechta, very, very odd. On what daf of the 90 blot does the Gemara discuss the question of whether you should get divorced?
What blot?
What blot? Out of 90 blot, of whether you should get divorced, whether it's ever proper, what? 90, very good. Right, it's a very weirdly structured, Masechta, right, where the question of, like, is divorce a good thing or not is the last discussion in the entire Masechta, and the first six blot of the Masechta are, if someone sends a get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, he has to send witnesses who say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Right? It's a very oddly structured, very odd. Okay. Smack in the middle of the Masechta, right? Daf Nun Hey, right? Are two dafim that you probably have read many times in your life, because they are basically the only dafim that you can read on Tisha B'Av, right? Right? The Churban Gemaras, right? Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Right, these stories you've probably heard, right? Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and maybe you know some of the other ones. Yeah, but all those stories, right? All the stories. So Rav Tzadok asks a very simple question. Is this random? Right, is it random? Yeah, like, is it just happened to come up in Gittin? Or is it thematically connected? So he argues, no, they're connected. You know why it's connected? Yeah, but where does he get that idea? Where does he get the idea that galut is divorce? Where does he get a crazy... Where does the Gemara get a crazy idea that like that? What? The psukim! Thank you. By this point, you've learned the answer to most of my questions. Is because the psukim say so. Right? Where? It's a pasuk. Where? Blow up. So sometimes the marriage side is sure. What about divorce?
What about divorce?
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, Hosea relates to it, but the clearest one where it actually talks about a get is Yeshayahu Perek Nun, where it says, where the Jews, right, seemingly think they're divorced from God and therefore they don't have to keep the Torah. And what does Yeshayahu say? Where is your get? Right? Eze, right? Right? Where is your sefer pitut? Right? Where is your divorce document? Or in modern terminology, we have a Catholic marriage, right? You can't divorce, right? We don't get divorced. Meaning, the Jews' relationship, Matan Torah, is a marriage, and Galut is divorce, right? This is not like a drash. I mean, it is a drash. It's Yeshayahu's drasha. It's Hosea's drasha. It is Tanakh. So he says, aha, well, if that's the case, right, then if Gittin is about divorce, then the discussion about Korban HaBayit should be in Gittin, because they are thematically connected. Right? So, the three points I want to leave you with today, okay? Let's summarize them. Point one. On the one hand, Halacha and Agadah are presented as opposite disciplines, but it's unclear whether Agadah is more important, Halacha is more important, or they're equal, which either is a machloket amongst more Halachic thinkers or more Agadic thinkers in Chazal, or it depends on how you study them, if you understand them superficially or more deeply, or it depends on the Agadah. Right? Metaphysics versus things that keep you awake and cheer. Right? Point one. Point two is, this is not really, Yotam, you're going upstairs. When you're upstairs, if you see the sushi, bring it downstairs. Right? Ginsburg just texted that if people see the sushi, bring it down. So if you happen to see it, otherwise, as soon as we're finished, go get the sushi from Mishmar. Fine? Okay. That was point one. Point two was that as much as there are agadot that present halacha and agadah as two different disciplines, the reality is that Chazal go out of their way to blur the line because they seem to be related on principle, right? Halacha is the law, agadah is the background, or whatever it is. But the point is, or to put it differently, halacha and agadah are both trying to teach you how to live, right? And in Torah, they aren't that distinct, right? They aren't that distinct. There's a wonderful set on Agadata by Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Brandes called Agadah L'Maaseh, right? Which is basically going through halachic agadic sections in Shas and showing how the agadot actually shape the halacha. It's an excellently done book. Really, really worth reading. Both volumes. I think there are only two now. I think he may have published a third just now.
I think the problem that arises from that is just being able to also separate them into two groups, right? You can't learn them as one thing because they need to have.
Right. I mean, on the one hand, they're sort of different. On the other hand, exactly. Exactly. And that's not just difficulty. That reveals, right, or that just shows that the nature of Jewish. Yes, there's law and there's not law. But if you want to ask, broadly speaking, is Agadah normative? The answer is yes, meaning it's trying to teach you to do things. Is it binding the way law is? Maybe not. But is it normative? Yes, meaning nothing, right? Meaning philosophy is also has normative. Correct. Exactly. Well, okay. Yes and no. Correct. So this is what really Yehuda Brandes does very well, is that he really learns them together and shows what the halacha tells you about the agadah, what the agadah tells you about the halacha. Right? Very, very nicely done. 100%. Because that's his point, is that let's take things that are somewhere in between and show you why they're purposely presented this way. Okay. And the third point that we made is that it's not just that they're integrated generally, like the disciplines of halacha and agadah are integrated, but sometimes they're integrated in ways to be mutually informing about the local context, right? Not just like in general, halacha, agadah, they get mixed, but no. Sometimes they're there to tell you about the particular context you're in and shed light. So the halacha can shed light on the agadah, and the agadah can shed light on the halacha. Okay, so that's where we'll stop for today. In general, like I said, the goal for the year is to try to understand what agadah is, general, like sort of as an overview, and we'll see how many introductory shiurim we actually do. And the other is to actually take agadot and learn them, right? And for the few of you who are, well, I guess for Yotam, who was here last year, right? What we do try to do is we try to pick very different agadot and also very different thinkers, right? So we'll try to pick some of the metaphysical agadot. We'll try to pick some of the ethical agadot. We'll try to pick some of the agadot and shade them and things like that. Nobody has any idea what's going on, right? And we'll also try to present rationalist approaches, mystical approaches, literary approaches, modern academic approaches, right? And sometimes in the same agadata, we'll do like five different perspectives. So you see how one agadata, depending on your perspective, right, you can take it. So we've done that before. We can think of at least one time, right? We did like a rationalist one, and then we did like an ancient Near East one, and then we did a Kabbalistic one, right? Because right, besides the question of what is agadata, the next question is, well, once you figure that out, you got to figure out how do you learn it, right? And in general, I take I'm not a methodological purist, right? I don't have like a shita which I follow, because I think that different shitot have merit, and in different agadot and different halachot and different whatever, they have merit. So, right, this year on principle is more right survey. So you start to get a feel for how to learn agadah and develop your own voice. Okay, that's the goal. That's what we'll be doing this year. Yeah, go.
Learn about a lot of the God, I think difficulty rests when you need to learn just the God, just the God, how.